Okay. What I want to talk about today are two concepts that play out throughout Scripture. One, and they're really the same concept for the most part. They're spoken of specifically quite often together in the same few verses. Those concepts are the arm of Yahweh and the right hand of Yahweh. Now, I want to go through the words before we get to it. Judaism has named this little device a yad. It's a hand. We use this when we have the Torah scroll out. It looks like a pointed hand. So that when the scroll is out, you can touch it and you're not putting your hand on it. Sort of like a pencil to highlight where you are so you don't lose track. Because it's very easy to lose track where you are when you're trying to go through the Hebrew. But Yad also means strength and power. The word also means a sign or a monument. And this is again the word hand. Yahweh's hand, whatever he does, and this is important, is a monument to you. You're like, why is it a monument? Why were things put in the ark? So when you go through tribulation and your hope is starting to be lost, you're supposed to go back and think on the times Yahweh touched your life. They are monuments because the enemy's goal is to destroy your faith. So you have to go back to these monuments where he touched you, going, you can't take away my belief in him. He touched me here. He touched me here in a way that changed me. The other word, and some of you, this will sound familiar, is Zeruah. Now, close to Passover, the Zeruah is the shank bone of the lamb that's on the Passover plate. It means an arm or a forearm, specifically. Symbol of strength is the Zeruah. It's from a root, which is kind of an interesting root, but as you see the verses that come up, you're like, wow, that's kind of cool. It's the idea that your hand is full of seeds, and you're going out with your hand, and you may even make a hole in the ground, put the seed in, but your hand is putting the seed in the ground. Okay? So it's quite an interesting root for it to come from, but that's Zeruah. Now, turn with me to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Giving you sort of a head start to context. Yeshua has been captured. Well, pretty much captured, taken. He's standing before a high priest, Caiaphas. And they're trying to bring in false witnesses because to make him a false prophet, which is the crime they're hoping to do, they have to have two witnesses to back up that he blasphemed the word or he's leading them off from Yahweh to an idol. Because they can't disprove all the miracles. See, a false prophet would be someone who did miracles but then would lead you off to an idol, someone other than Yahweh. Or a false prophet is someone who spoke a truth and it wasn't fulfilled by Yahweh. Okay? So they keep bringing in these false prophets, and they're trying to get Yeshua to just tell us, who are you? And remember, Yeshua would rather the Father reveal it to them. We see that in regard to Peter. Flesh and bone has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Right. So, Matthew 26, 62. And the high priest rose and said to him, do you answer this? Now they just said, he said he can destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. This is the charge. Now what's intriguing is they're not going to base it upon the premise whether it can happen. They're going to use that charge going, the temple can't be built in 3 days. It's physically impossible. Well, nor can the sea be separated. Nor can Israel be brought out of Egypt. Nor can man walk on water. Nor can any of these things happen. And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is this man testify against you?" Yeshua kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath of the living God. Tell us if you are the anointed, the Son of God." This is an important point because Yeshua is now going to share his role for all. Yeshua said to him, "It is as you've said. Nevertheless, I say to you, after now, hereafter, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Okay? Now, "And you have said so," Yeshua replied, "but I say to you, from now on you'll see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One," that's another way of saying that, "and coming in the clouds of heaven." It's quite interesting. Yeshua does not equate himself as the Mighty One. Now, many have built theology on the premise of what does it mean that Yeshua will be sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One. Many believe it like this. There is Yahweh, and that there is a physical Yeshua at the right hand. And that physical Yeshua is there doing all these different roles. The question I pose is, how do we understand what it means to be at and on? And this is the most confusing part. If you were to take this back to Hebrew, which, by the way, we better do, because Yeshua is teaching a Hebraic concept, the word at and on would not exist in this regard. It would be the, or it would just be right hand. Okay? We put the middle words in to help us make sense of it. The hard part is and at the right hand separates. On the right hand could actually mean like he's sitting on the right hand. If we eliminate and just say the right hand, well, now that makes him more part of Yahweh and less separate. This is my... how would I say this? This is how I understand Scripture. You might say, when I go looking to understand something, this is the basis of which I want to understand it. This is Isaiah 28:9-10. This is Yahweh, he teaches knowledge. Whom will he make to understand the message? Those who are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For it is precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Now this ending part, I was bringing up in Bible study, here a little, there a little, is the reality of, if I teach you all of what is in Scripture at one time, you'll be like, Okay? One of the things you have to know as a teacher is that a student's brain is like a stomach. Okay? You can't keep cramming into the stomach. Once the stomach is full, the stomach is full, and it must then take time to digest what is in the stomach. So if you think, you know what, we're going to cram in these next however many hours, a huge amount in, you're going to have a mental stomach ache. And it may come out on a test, but it won't be pretty. And quite often, you will never remember it again. Now, going back to this, this is based upon the right hand being a new concept. Meaning, we read that verse as it is. We don't go back to Genesis and read line upon line, concept upon concept, here a little, there a little. We just take it as, oh, that's what it says. We can't. The Scriptures were built delicately, with forethought. Scripture upon Scripture upon Scripture. Does Yahweh teach us about His hand and arm? Absolutely. I have a lot of verses. This is basically just touching it today. So if you get a chance for me, I'm going to write some of these down. I have many up here, so we're not sitting here because we'd be sitting all day. Okay? So we start with Isaiah 48. Listen to me, Jacob, Israel, whom I have called. I am He. I am the first and I am the last. By the way, this is not Yeshua speaking. This is Yahweh. My own hand laid the foundations of the earth. Notice He is speaking of His own hand has laid the foundations of the earth. And my right hand has spread out the heavens. When I summon them, they all stand up together. Now, how many other verses do we have to bring in? Wait a minute. Yahweh's hand laid the foundations of the world? What? Wait a minute. There's scripture that says He did it by His word. So is His word His hand? Remember what I brought up. In the hand, it goes back to the idea of seeds being in the hand and sowing. How many parables did Yeshua speak of the word being seeds? How many? Exodus 6:6. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am Yahweh. This is when He's introducing Himself. And I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm with mighty acts of judgment. Yahweh's arm is going to reach down into our lives and cause an incredible, miraculous change. Turn me to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Now again, I'm barely touching on this. So I pray you go back, look up the word, and do a little more construction of your own. Verse by verse, line by line. Chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. He's speaking to Moses. He's encouraging him because he's sending him into a task where the other guy, Pharaoh, is just going to say no the whole time. And he doesn't want him to feel like, well, oh, man, there's something wrong with me. He already tells him, Pharaoh's not going to heed what you say. Starting with verse 4, but Pharaoh will not heed you so I may lay my hand. So the purpose is I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. My hand is going to save them. And when my hand saves them, those that watch will realize that I, Yahweh, save them. Even those who are being saved and those that are watching them be saved, they will all know it's Yahweh. Exodus 15, not too far from there. Not too far from there. This is the song they begin to sing. I'm going to start with verses 1 through 6. They've just come out. They are, bubbling over with excitement. The Egyptians are dead. See, many of us don't realize the Egyptians had to be drowned in the sea. If they were not drowned in the sea, they would have been a fear in the back of the Israelites' mind the entire time they walked the desert. By Yahweh destroying them in the sea, they were completely free. Free from the fear of retribution. And in that, there was complete freedom. Not only physical, but spiritual, mental. To that, they just started jubilantly singing. Verse 1, and Moses and the children of Israel sang a song to Yahweh, saying, I will sing to Yahweh, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider have been thrown into the sea. Yahweh is my strength and my song. He has become my Yeshua, my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Yahweh is a man of war. Yahweh is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army He has cast in the siege. His chosen captains are drowned in the Red Sea, and depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Look at the... Your right hand, O Yahweh, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Yahweh, has dashed the enemy to pieces. He continues in the song, verse 11. Who is like you, O Yahweh, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand. The earth swallowed them. You, in your mercy, have led forth a people from your... You have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Verse 16. Fear and dread will fall on them in the greatness of what? Your arm. They will be as still as a stone. To your people pass over, O Yahweh, to the people pass over whom you have purchased. You bring them in and plant them in the mountain of inheritance, in a place, O Yahweh, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, Yahweh, which you, your hands have established. Yahweh shall reign forever and ever. Now, if that's not clear, Yahweh spoke to Moses saying, this staff I put in your hand, whatever I do, I'm going to give you my word, you're going to do with the staff. The staff becomes a physical thing we can see of Yahweh's finger touching down on the ground, meaning His word. Okay? So, how many times did He say that? Here, 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 and here. Stretch forth your hand. And it happened. Stretch forth your hand. And it happened. Isaiah 63. Turn with me to that. Because it correlates to what we were just reading about. Isaiah 63, we're going to go verses 5 through 12. It's hard to say. There's so many of my favorite verses. But this is one of those sections where you go, wow, Yahweh looks at us like that. He looks at us like that. Starting in verse 5, this is Yahweh. I looked, but there was no one to help, meaning His people. And I wondered that there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me. And my own fury, it sustained me. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down the strength to the earth. I will mention the loving kindness of Yahweh and the praises of Yahweh according to all Yahweh has bestowed on us. The great goodness toward the house of Israel, which He has bestowed on them according to His mercies, according to the multitude of His loving kindness. For He said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. But He has become their Savior. In their affliction He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them, the messenger of His presence. In His love and His pity He redeemed them, and He bore them and carried them all the days of old. And they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit. He turned Himself against them as an enemy, and He fought against them. Then He remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is He who brought them out of the sea with the shepherd of His flock? Where is He who put His Holy Spirit within them? Guys, this is in Exodus, not in the Gospels. Where is He who brought them out? Where is He who gave them the Holy Spirit? Who led them by the right hand of Moses with His glorious arm dividing the water before them to make Himself an everlasting name? Now what do we see? My own arm brought salvation. This is Yahweh. My own arm brought Yeshua. Now this is important because He said, in remembering how the seas were separated, The seas were separated when he says, "Be still, you shall see my salvation today." Remember that we just read in Exodus 15, "He has become my strength, my song. He has also become my salvation, my Yeshua." My arm brought salvation. He was their Savior. He carried them, led by the right hand of Moses and his glorious arm. That right hand would be the one that would hold the staff. I just read how many times? Stretch out your hand. Stretch out your hand. Psalm 44:3. Listen to this. It's one of those we all know. "For they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword," not by what we did, "nor by their own arm save them." Oh yes, we're so good. "But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them." Your right arm only saved them. That's it. Psalm 89:13. "You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, high is your hand." That means that Yahweh's right hand is exalted and high. Quite interesting. I wonder if that's how Yeshua is referred to at some point. That he shall be lifted high or exalted high. Psalm 118, 14 to 18. They quote, by the way, from Exodus 15, "Yahweh is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. The right hand of Yahweh is exalted. The right hand of Yahweh does valiantly. You have a mighty arm. Strong is your hand. High is your right hand." Strong, mighty, right hand, salvation. God says, "Have no fear. I am with you. I will be your strength. I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand." This is Isaiah 41:10. He continues in 41, "That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of Yahweh has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it." He's trying to give this metaphor to the idea that Yahweh stretches his hand down from the holiest place and is somehow interacting in our life, and that hand is touching us. I sort of see it in regard to what he teaches us through Yeshua, which sort of connects to what Patrick was teaching today. The leper. What does Yeshua say? "I have not come for the healthy. I have come for the sick." Sick would be the idea of what Patrick was trying to bring up, the unclean. So, the leper is standing there going, "If it be your will, I could be clean." Yeshua reaches down and touches him. A leprous person should have made him unclean. "I wish you be clean." A woman touches the hem of his garment. Tzitzit, considered the commands, who has a bleeding issue, completely unclean. And he's concerned, "Who touched me?" You will find the Yeshua representing his right hand did not sit back going in regard to holiness, separating himself from the sick, but knowing that the only true medicine that fixes is the truth, which is beautiful. His hand, Isaiah 43:11-13, "I am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says Yahweh, that I am Elohim. Indeed, before the day was, I am He. And there is no other one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, who will reverse it? Yahweh's hand is impenetrable from the ways of the enemy. Now that doesn't mean you can't leave His hand. Because He still gives you every day the choice. Choose you today. Again, goes back to Patrick. Which way are you going to follow? The way of life or the way of death? And this is not a physical death, but an eternal death. Not a punishment. An eternal death, non-existence. Isaiah 50, verse 2. Why, when I came, was there no man? When I called, no one to answer, meaning a call of distress. In my hand, is my hand shortened at all that I cannot redeem? This is Yahweh going, you know the times we get freaked out? What am I going to do? Yahweh goes, are my arms any shorter than they were yesterday? Didn't we just go through this? Didn't you just say you wished you'd be stronger? No one answered. My hands shortened at all that cannot redeem, or they have no power to deliver. Indeed, with my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers the wilderness. Their fish stink because there is no water, and they die of thirst. It even goes back to Egypt as well. The idea of the water turning to blood and all the fish die. Isaiah 51. We're not too far from there. Got a few more verses, and then we'll be closing up. Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 5. It's a beautiful beginning of a chapter in relating it to us. So listen as it's read to you like Yahweh speaking to you. Listen to the beginning. Listen to me, you who follow after righteousness, you who seek Yahweh. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, to the hole of the pit from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, to Sarah who bore you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. For Yahweh will comfort Zion. He will comfort her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of Yahweh. Joy and gladness we found in it, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Listen to me, my people. Give ear, O my nation. For a law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light upon the peoples. My righteousness is near. My salvation, Yeshua, has gone forth. My arms will judge the peoples, and my coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arms they will trust. They will trust on Yahweh's arms. Now I'm going to translate that from here into what would be New Testament words. And they will have faith in my arms. Because my arms are always faithful to what I said. Also quite interesting, which will have to be another teaching. My arms will judge the peoples. My arm or arms are going to judge the peoples. Interesting correlations. Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 10. Before I read this, I want to interject Yeshua when he speaks to Peter. God wants people who are listening to his voice, line upon line, truth upon truth, right? And Peter goes, you are the anointed, the Son of God. And he goes, wow, flesh and bone have not revealed that to you. Meaning no human teacher came and said, oh, let me teach you how to do this. Yahweh has revealed it to you. The word was revealed, opened like a door, and light sprung in, and we saw things like we went from being blind to seeing again. That's the beginning of this chapter. Listen to the first verse of 53. Who believed our report? Meaning, who believed what we said? To whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? Who has heard? Who has it been revealed, the arm of Yahweh? He continues. Yahweh has revealed, for he has grown up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there was no beauty that we should desire him. For he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as if were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he was borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Remember, he would not open his mouth until the priest said, I charge you under oath. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is silent. He opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. He would declare his generation. He was cut from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. They made his grave with the wicked, with the rich of his death, because he had done no violence, yet was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He has put him to grief, made his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed, his son. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yahweh shall prosper in his hand. This is a prophecy, but in regard to this prophecy, it starts off with, to whom has the arm of Yahweh been revealed? That means whoever's going to fulfill this prophecy is the arm of Yahweh. Jeremiah 1:9. Then Yahweh put out his hand and he touched my mouth. Yahweh said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. Again, correlating the idea of his hands and Yahweh's word. So we go back to this verse. You have said so, Yeshua replied, but I say to all of you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One, coming in the clouds of heaven. Separate? What does it mean that Yeshua will be sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One? What was Yeshua doing before he became flesh? Meaning, what was he? He was the Word, the right hand of God. We kept seeing his Yeshua when he parted the sea. When he saved his people over and over again. We saw his right hand, his Yeshua. What will Yeshua be after he is flesh? Go back to what it says. From now on, meaning later, after this, after I leave behind this, you will see the Son of Man sitting, the right hand of the Mighty One coming from the clouds of heaven. Meaning Yahweh's hand will reach down again. And what's he going to do this time? His arm will judge. But there is no Savior but Yahweh. Isaiah 55:11. Whether you want to say his word or his hand, I'll put both in. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, or my hand from the heavens. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper for what I sent it. Basically, what Yahweh says, when I go to act, nothing can stop me from doing what I need it to do. Nothing can stop this action. Now, does this mean that Yahweh is constantly acting and we're merely pet puppets? No. Yahweh has patience. Yahweh has time. If he puts a seed in your life and that seed dies, produces a plant, and the plant dies, he's okay with that because you know what? The dead plant will become nutrients for the next seed he puts in your heart. And if that plant dies, it will become nutrients for the ground for the next plant he seeds into your heart. Yahweh is patient. He makes the path, the firm ground, the stiff neck into good soil. He changes it. He could turn a rock into the most fertile soil. And that's what he wants. And when we open our hearts and we trust in his hand, oh my, what wonderful things he can do. And here's what's incredible. I want you to think about this for a moment. You can be the glove Yahweh wears to touch others' lives. Let us sink in for a moment. You can be the glove he wears to touch someone else's life, to change them. And his word, not us, I mean, we're just a glove. But we trust that it can happen because you know what? Well, let me go back one more second. Because he's already touched ours. Every one of us has his handprint in our hearts. Maybe not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. Baruch Hashem. Bless his name. Yevarecha Yahweh v'yishmerecha. Ke Yahweh tebendiga et tepoteha. May Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yar Yahweh panavedecha vihunecha. Ke Yahweh agasu rosho espendeser sobriti ite otorge subandad. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Yisi Yahweh panavedecha v'yisem lecha shalom. Que Yahweh muestre su rostro sobre ti y te conceda su paz. May Yahweh's face turn towards you and give you his peace. Shabbat shalom. For those hanging around, we'll be doing prayer and